Welcome to The Conversation. You're with Andy Mason, and this podcast is all about the messy intersection between faith, family, and work. And this episode, I just want to unpack some of the things that I'm seeing, hearing, and thinking of as it pertains to right now and planning for 2020, and just some themes that I just kind of have how I go about hearing God and pertaining or translating that into my daily work. So this, I'm not sure what to even title this, maybe we call it Preparing Room. And what I've got, I'm actually standing in my office, which is more like a boardroom than an office. It's just a standing desk at the end where I get to sort of stand, sit, because I'm meeting with people a bunch of times. And there's a big whiteboard, and I'm using that all the time. I'm not sure if I can have a thought without using a whiteboard or writing it down or something like that. And then on two sides of my office, there's windows that look out. So on a good day, I can see Mount Lassen, which is super inspiring. It's a really wonderful spot. So here's what I've got. I'm looking at the board, and yesterday morning, or every Wednesday, 8 to 9 a.m., my team, so that's the heavenandbusiness.com, you can find out more there, or Facebook, Heaven and Business, we meet together as a team and we pray for our community, we pray for the people that are part of the membership platform that we have, we pray for events, and a lot of that is not just going through a list, it's asking God, what are you doing? And then at the way that we pray is we agree with what God's doing, and then we'll like lean into that or ask for more or pray specifically around that. So that's a lot of what we do, and then we always summarize it at the end of that time and just post that to Facebook. So as I was preparing for that, call it prayer meeting, hearing meeting, I'm not sure what you'd call it, I just, I have pictures in my head. And that kind of how I put these things together. And I was reminded of a story. Now, in the Bible, there's a story about this guy, Jesus. He was kind of like, he's the real deal. And he had these 12 disciples, 12 guys who followed around, really so often were clueless, which then gives us no excuse. But there's one particular situation where Jesus had just multiplied bread, fed thousands of people, started with five loaves and two fish, and multiplied that to feed thousands and had more left over than they started with. Then he tells them to jump in a boat. They jump in this boat to go to the other side, and they suddenly realize, oh my gosh, we forgot lunch. And then Jesus says some random thing about something completely different, and then they're arguing about they're not even sure what he's talking about, which is so often the case. And Jesus says this phrase. He says, did you not hear and at least remember? What did you see? What are you hearing? And at least you can remember. Sometimes we can see clearly what's going on. Other times we hear what is going on from others, from ourselves. But if I can't see what's going on, if I cannot hear anything, at least I can always remember what has happened, what stories have happened in the past. Remember those things because they get me forward. Now, I just use that see, hear, remember, and I've got my whiteboard, which is probably 6 feet long and maybe 3 feet vertical, and I split it into three. The first was see, the second section hear, the third section remember. And I'll take a picture of this and post it for you as well. And if I start in the hearing part, I just started to write down the things, the thoughts, the statements, bullet points that I'm hearing God say or I'm hearing through others. So the first one I just wrote down is multiplication. And that's the word that I just keep hearing for 2020, that it's all about multiplication. And the emphasis for us as a team is not so much on the goals and all those things, but how do we prepare for multiplication? If we had 10 times growth in 2020, do I have the systems, the structures, the procedures in place to better manage that multiplication? So that's the practical outworking of that. Then I wrote down this next thing, providence. Chris Valentin spoke a message about a week ago, and he shared this story about an encounter with God that he had, where God was walking down this road and Chris was actually in the way. And he basically said to Chris, get out of the way. And this whole thing of that phrase, sometimes God is so gracious. Most of the time we experience his goodness and his grace, but then there's times when he just steps in and just takes care of things because that's who he is. The story of Saul on the road, he's going on his way to kill Christians, and Jesus literally shows up, knocks him off his donkey, and changes his life. When he was working directly against God, God is God, and he can just do stuff at times. So I just wrote down this providence. It's my turn. The next one, get out of the way. And that it links to a song, a Bethel worship song, where the phrase is, God has no rival. He has no equal. I wrote down the next thing. What am I hearing? I heard a testimony of a business leader, someone who leads a movement of business people in Indianapolis, where we were a couple of weeks ago. And after the Heaven and Business workshop that we did, he met with the host the week following. And he's talking about promoting what we are doing to his own business group. And my friend, the host, asked him, you know, why are you doing that? Because in a sense, you're referring another organization over your own. Why would you do that? And this business leader said, because I want a move of God. And I've written that down on the board. Is there's a deep, deep sense. There's so much that I can do. There's so many activities. There's so many things that I can put in place that's good business practice. But when it all comes down to it, I want a move of God. I don't want to just a move of what Andy can do. I want to see what God can do. So underneath that, I've written down alignment. It's about aligning with these things. I've written down and suddenly, which is some of the things, God just shows up and does things. Then the next one I've written down, prepare him room, which is all about listen and follow him. And it's all about leaning on him rather than leaning and depending on myself. Now, prepare him room, that phrase came from 2 weeks ago. I was in Indianapolis. I went to Antioch Church in the morning, and a guy by the name of Steve Zinacco spoke. And I'll give you the link to that message. The message was so timely. We're at Christmas. We sing the song, Joy to the World, Let Heaven and Nature Sing. And it talks about prepare him room. When Jesus came, it was all about preparing him room. So our part in preparing him room is not just our hearts for Jesus and listening to him, but it's also the structure. It's also about saying necessary endings. What do I need to stop doing? What do I need to keep doing? And what do I need to start doing? I need to review all of those things so that I'm preparing room for Jesus in my life, in my business, and in my work. So I've written it there now, all down. All of those things were under the here column. And then actually with the team, one of the things is they said, they added an extra column. What am I feeling? And the feeling is this desperation for God alone. It's like this utter dependency. I must have you. Now, the situations that we're surrounding us is obviously we've got some friends that are walking through painful physical or emotional relationship situations. We've got other friends that their businesses make or break. And so they're right in that desperation. We're doing everything we can. We need God to move. We must have you. We're not just in this life to do good deeds and then die and figure out that's it. No, there's got to be more than that, which is this group of people that we're seeing gather together. We want to experience what God can do. We want a move of God. So we are preparing room for him in our lives so we don't just go about business as usual. We've got room for God in our lives because we're desperate for him to do something. So then if you jump back to C, so this third of my board I'm looking at right now, and it's just titled C, what am I seeing God do? What am I seeing happen in the earth right now? And what I wrote at the top was, pieces and people lining up. Now, some of those things are lining up the dots and moving forward, which is really exciting. I'm watching what's happening for us in Cincinnati, Chicago, Indianapolis, Lexington, Nashville, at Birmingham Destin, there's like a band across the states where I'm seeing just an amazing response when people to what we're doing with Heaven and Business. So I'm leaning into that and saying, okay, God, you've got something there for us. I'm going to look towards that. Where there's opportunities, I'm going to give them preference and make decisions because I see you're doing something. I don't know all of what it is, but I'm lining up with that. And the practical outworking of that is I jumped in and we were just setting up a Heaven and Business workshop in Lexington, Kentucky in the middle of January 2020. And it was just all of those things lined up. We'll be in Destin in mid-February 2020. So these things are lining up together and I'm lining up in line with that. The next thing I said, what do I see, is there's some impossible situations. And our response to an impossible situation can be just we stick our head in the sand, we go passive. It's just this passive, God, you got to do something and I can't do anything. That's kind of really sucks. We're not like that. It's that, no, this is an impossible situation. I don't know what to do, but it's an opportunity for faith when I see it from a different perspective. Last night, I got to be part of a prayer meeting and a worship service praying for a resurrection. And I was just being a part of that for me. The biggest prayer for me personally was, God, enlarge my faith. This is so far outside my normal grid and belief and expectation. But I know that Jesus, you're the God of resurrection. You resurrect dead things and you told us to do the same. So my faith is being stretched in the middle of an impossible situation. That's what I see is happening. The other thing is I had three testimonies that I've seen happen in the last month or 2 months. And when I see three things happen all at once, it's like, pay attention, watch what's going on. And these three situations, it was seeming enemies became friends. And I put friends in speech marks, as in there was a significant shift in the heart of the individual towards their previous enemy because of influence and reach. And the quote, and this came from Heidi Baker, is you only have authority where you have love. It's one thing to forgive. To forgive doesn't give you access and authority. It's only when we have love towards someone that doors start to open for us to actually have influence and authority and access. The first one was in Mozambique. And just very, very recently, they've had groups down there that have been attacking and killing Christians. And a bunch of these people are now locked up in prison. And I'm not sure what the state is like right now, but Heidi's own people have been brutalized by these groups of people. And God spoke to her specifically, you've got to, one, forgive. And she said, yeah, I've done that. But then spoke to her and wrecked her. She got so moved. No, you also need to love them. And she was undone by what God was speaking to her about because she realized she didn't. The moment she allowed God to touch her heart and produce a love for the people that have been killing and hurting her people, so moving towards them, the very next thing, a prison with hundreds of these people opened up. So now they've got access to go in and minister and influence. The second one is a friend of mine in business, and I have talked with him about the whole challenges, and he's been telling me a certain industry, the pharmaceutical industry, that there's a whole heap of stuff going on that gets shut down with lobbyists. It's just been crazy, some of the things that we've experienced. So we almost talk like there's this pharmaceutical industry that's crushing some of these small businesses growing up, these great nutritional solutions that get shut down, and there's this agenda and it's evil. Well, he's got a product that is phenomenal what it's doing, but doesn't have the situation to better launch it properly. The very solution that he needed came from a leader of a pharmaceutical company. So, speech marks, his enemy was the one that gave him the solution to move forward. Suddenly, he's confronted by the fact that some of the things that you need in order to step into the next season growth is in the hands of the people that you are calling your enemy. And the only way to step forward in that is you need to change your perspective and heart attitude towards those that you're drawing lines up against. So he had to repent, change his thinking, and move towards the people that he used to call his enemy. And the third one is actually a sex trafficking gang that a particular friend in a particular location was just done with it. He's done work rescuing people out of those industries. And he's just one day, he heard a story. He was just, I've done with this. And he's about to go in and do something significantly violent. And in that moment, he plans it out. He's prepared. He's just, you know, you get to the end of yourself. And he had the resources to do this and take care of it. Just the damage and the brutality and the low value or no value for human life. And just at the point where he got this all planned out, the presence of God invades the room and he hears God say, what if I have an alternative future for that person? And he's again very angry with God that God would even do that, but undone by God's heart towards these people. What's the point? There's three different stories. There's so many different ways that they could be applied. But here's the one thing that I'm seeing in this is each one had to change their perspective on who they perceived as enemies or opposition or competition, change, because the very thing that they needed was to adjust so that they can move forward. That's what I'm seeing happen right now. Things lining up either against one another. We have to change in order to move forward. And Jesus says in the Bible, when the presence of God is there, even my enemies become my friends. That's going to happen in 2020. So I've walked through what I'm hearing, and I've written that all down on my board. I've then written down what I'm seeing, and I've written down that on my board. And then I've written down, remember, what am I remembering? What is brought to my attention? And the first one is a story of a family that couldn't have children. They went through the whole IVF program. And then 7 days before her due date, she got preeclampsia. They rushed her to hospital. The emergency, I'm not sure if it was cesarean or emergency birth. And she was in one hospital fighting for her life. Baby was in another hospital fighting for its life. They find that the baby had a heart condition, and 7 days later the baby died. Just a tragic, tragic situation. And as the dad, the wife, the mother, she was okay. She lived and moved forward. The dad was walking out of the hospital. The doctor was a wonderful, wonderful man, and not a follower of Jesus. But the doctor put his arm on this man and said to him, hey, it's time for you to go home. You've tried everything. We've done the best that medicine can do, and it's impossible. You just need to go home and rethink what you're going to do. As the doctor told him that, basically, this is impossible, he says, I felt what felt like hot oil running down my neck, and I heard the voice of God say to me, now it's my turn. The story carries on. 18 months later, they got pregnant, natural, absolute surprise, and they've got a beautiful, perfectly healthy baby. I remembered that story. Second one, I'm remembering some provision. There's, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen some little things happen. I had a car that needed repair. I thought it was gonna be $500. It turns into $2,900. It's a shock. I've got a book that we're launching and growing. It's $1,000 to get that formatted. I got these little things. I'm figuring, okay, God, I'm learning to trust you in this. It's going to be okay. Next day, within 24 hours, I get a phone call from someone saying, hey, I've had the best year ever, and I thought of you. What do you need? Need anything? And he writes a check out that takes care of both of those little things. Yesterday, I get home, and there's an $800 refund from an insurance, house insurance payment. It was overpaid. Surprised, didn't expect it. I'm seeing these little things of provision happen. Pay attention and notice that. The next thing I've written on this board is I'm seeing some situations where people have been in partnership with others. So for example, it was a patent, 50-50 ownership in building this out. One person had the idea, the other person was the business development person. As they launched it, got it ready, got it growing, person A, the idea person, was not a follower of Jesus, comes into the other and said, I'm taking 100% of this. You've got nothing. I've done all the work. If you don't do it, I'm going to sue me. I'm going to sue you. Person B, business development, was kind of shocked and surprised and thought, what's going on? I thought we had an agreement. I thought this was a partnership. But goes and prays about it. Hears God say, just give it to him. Turns around, goes back to the person, says, okay, you can have 100% of this. Hands over the entire business and what they've put into it. The person A, idea person, said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not just going to take 100% of this. I'm going to clean you out for the costs that have incurred, and I'm going to run you into the ground and destroy you. So gone from having 100% to actually, I now want to destroy someone, which is evil intent. It goes, obviously, it goes to court. It's a 2-year process, and actually 2 years in about a week's time, it comes up before the court. Person A was arrogant, proud. They'd done this before to others, cleaned out others. And they come before the judge defending themselves, and they did not do any documentation or had not had any of the information with them. Person B, the one defending and saying, God, what do we do? This doesn't make sense. It's crazy. He comes with all the preparation, all the paperwork, and saying, this is what I've got. This is what we've done. The judge looks at person A and says, have you done this, this, and this? Person A says, no, I haven't. The judge says, okay, you've got 2 weeks to do it. 2 weeks go past. They meet again, and the person has still not done what the judge required. That carried on a couple of times, and in the end, the judge turns to person B, and because of the contempt and arrogance of person A, he awards 100% of the company and the patent to person B. What's the point? It was a turning of the tables. It literally went from being a 50-50, one person pursuing the other. They did, and it was just nasty and evil, and it ends up being 100% owned by person B, the person that was being persecuted, sued, and crazy, it turned around. That was a 2 year ago story that it happened and resolved. Just last week, I heard of another situation that happened very, very similar. A hostile takeover has been thrown out. What's the point? I'm remembering, even in the testimonies that's coming to mind, the provision of God, God saying, now it's my turn, turning the tables on situations. So now I stand back and I look at all these different things. What am I seeing? What am I hearing? What am I remembering? And what I do is I circle some of the key things that are going on. And one of them is, I want a move of God. It's this whole thing of get out of the way. I want to see what God will do. That's number one. I will make a priority of my connection of listening to his voice. The second thing I circled was prepare him room. I don't want to be found leaning on my own ability, my own systems, my own principles. I want to make a life and build a life that's got evidence of leaning on trust and faith in Jesus. And what that practically looks like is I'm now planning and preparing 2020, protecting room for my connection with Jesus as a part of everything I do. Secondly, I'm looking at the systems and the structures that we're doing as Heaven and Business, the systems and structures that I'm doing in my family, and protecting connection with my family, protecting connection with my wife, protection connection with my well-being. All of these things for me is preparing him room. It's pushing out the walls, as Steve Zinacco said, and saying, what do I need to do in my life, in my business, in my family to make room for God to move? Those are the things I'm focusing on. And when I don't know, I stand in the middle of it, not in the middle of some beautiful, clean, pristine situation. No, it's in the middle of the mess. And I stand in the middle of the mess, which is what Jesus inserted into. And in that place, I worship and I praise. It's not a passive sit down, fall asleep, but it's a stand, lift my hands up, put on some songs like Waymaker, Miracle Worker. It's who God is. I'm singing songs about who God is, His greatness. And in the middle of the pain, I say, but God said, we will do this. But God said, we will have more than enough. But God said, we advance, we don't shrink back. But God said, and that's how I fight in the middle of it. So I trust that this has unpacked some of that for you of how I go about what we do. I want to encourage you to do the same. Is get yourself in front of a whiteboard or a piece of paper, split it into three. What do you see? What do you hear? And what do you remember? And you can review the last month or the last 12 months. What are you seeing happening? What are you seeing look like for 2020? What are you hearing God say? What are you hearing others say that resonates with you and your conviction? And what do you remember? What are the key stories that you want to see repeated in 2020? What are the key things that you want to see repeated now in your life? And you put that out and then you summarize it all and you say, okay, God, what's the key phrase for me to work on right now? For me, it's preparing Him room. I want a move of God, so my part is preparing Him room and protecting that connection and all of those things. So I trust this has been helpful. If you've got any questions or comments, post them below or contact us. You can see more about us and where we're traveling. heavenandbusiness.com. You'll see that there. And also andyandjanine.com. That's super fun. So I'll be in Lexington, Kentucky, January the 17th. And you'll see that on the heavenandbusiness.com page under events. We've also got a brand new book coming out. It's going to be out in February. It's called Finding Hope in Crazy Times. Finding Hope in Crazy Times. If you're interested in some copies of that, it's written really like a devotional that's going to help people. Stories of my life and finding and hearing His voice in the middle of my crazy times. And I know that will be of value to others. If you want to find out more, you can contact us through andyandjanine.com or heavenandbusiness.com. And thank you so much for being a part of this conversation.